So you mentioned that the homeless population feels isolated.
Well, that's a good question. One of the things we talked about earlier was the fact that sometimes people get looks. They'll get a sense of, I don't know if you remember Sesame Street, but it was almost like one of these things does not belong here. And so, you know, if I'm the guy that's not clean shaven or clean cut and society runs up on a tight rope of these boundaries need to be held and I don't hold these boundaries, then I don't fit. I'm not what is socially accepted. And so being what is not socially accepted, or sometimes you place that stigma in your own mind, you say, okay, well, I don't belong here. So I'll set myself apart. I'll get away. I don't want to be the burden on anybody else. So, I mean, I think that's what pushes the majority of the homeless. There are different issues we all deal with, though. We deal with criminal backgrounds. We deal with mental issues. We deal with damaged emotions, sometimes from family, sometimes from just tragedy sometimes happens. I mean, I've met guys who played at Juilliard School of Music. I've met guys who play violin. I've met blind guys who had the capacity to be psychoanalysts. I mean, you meet all kinds of different people. And one of the things was the diversity. There's so much diversity, but that's all it is. Like you said, there's a culture within a culture. All it is a set of individuals who are like-minded in that they may not fit the way society would have them to fit.
Well, one of the things I've been most surprised by in getting to know our customers and just observing them with each other is how much love and affection there is, how much hugging, how much literally saying, I love you, man. I mean, this is not just female male. I mean, there's bromance going on in the community and I love it. It's just, it makes me feel, you know, just more loved and it makes me want to love more. I mean, what role do you think that, you know, that need for emotional and social connection plays among the community, and how do you guys fulfill that for each other?
When you got nothing, you got each other. And, you know, we talked about Shorty earlier. I'll never forget this. It's funny. I would see Shorty from time to time and I say, well, look, you know, he said, man, I'm hungry, you know, here, boom. If I had it, he had it. And it's crazy because the girl he wound up dealing with did not know me at all from A to Z. Not that I knew of. Maybe he might have pointed me out and she just came to me and she's like, here, bam, you hungry? And it's crazy because when you recognize that you don't have certain things, you begin to question whether it even matters. Do those things even matter? Like, hey, $20 on me. You need to eat. Yo, bro, I mean, I've been without $20. I've been without money. Do I need to continue to perpetuate getting that money? It's not a big deal. Not for me specifically. Now, there are other individuals who deal with that in different ways. Evidently, it's smart to build up on the resources that you have, which is why I feel like the library is the perfect place for a homeless individual to go to or even interact with, because the resources here are freaking crazy, like really. But, you know, that's the whole thing in a nutshell. We show love to one another because we are what we have. We are what we got. That subculture thing you're talking about, that's probably the base part of it, is that society as a whole sometimes is too busy to stop and say, I love you. And so we have that time. Not only do we smell roses, not only do we pick daisies, you know, we take the time to let each other know that I know your situation. Nevertheless, it's not hopeless. And even if it seems hopeless to you, we all see potential in everybody we come across. Even if it just be the guy that's doing the balloons and folds the balloons into a dog, we see the potential for that guy to be on America's Got Talent. It's one of the great things about this country.
So with all of those connections and all of that bonding that's happening, I mean, Do you think that that's almost, that almost makes it easier to stay homeless? And with that being said, you know, how long have you been homeless, and how long do you see yourself being homeless? Do you see yourself getting out of it? And if you don't, is that a bad thing?
Those are some good questions, because they're loaded. They are loaded questions that will get me in trouble if I answer them in the wrong way. I think about it, because you asked maybe like five different questions in that one question. I have been homeless about 2 years now. I became homeless after brief incarceration, and I decided that doing right, starting from the ground up rather than trying to get over on this or that, would be the best way. So I said, you know, let's start from the mud. Let's start from having zero. And actually, I didn't have zero. I had some paperwork and my intent. I had a way of saying, okay, I'm going to get back at the man for getting me and locking me up. And I was going to sue these people. And about 3 days after, I decided to go to the homeless shelter in order to start building resources, because that's the smartest thing to do for a homeless person. I left the bag sitting somewhere so that I could come into the library, and somebody stole the bag. So I did then have nothing. And so I began to build. The best thing for a person to do is to get a knowledge of self. Not even just a knowledge of self, but also a knowledge of the dichotomy between being on earth and what it means to be who you are on earth. And so being homeless, I have been humbled, and I feel like any and everybody that's in that situation would be humbled, because they have nothing. The things are not in the way. The person of who you are is what you're faced with when you look in the mirror. There's not the hair and the nails and the, you know, and the specs, and there's not everything there. What's there is the very core, the soul of who you are. And so being homeless is fun. It is. I'll say it's fun because there are not so many commitments, not so many worries, but the elements can be harsh. It can be very harsh. And so there is the thing about taking care of yourself that's very, very important. So in essence, I myself want to come out of homelessness for a specific purpose and a reason, which is my goal, my initiative, which is to be a teacher in a sense. Because I was raised by the village, and I think I have something to give back. But for the homeless individual who does not have to follow other people's rules and regulations, and yet is his own governing body, I think that can be very fun and empowering. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why some individuals do not want to change what they have, because they are in authority of themselves in the streets. Hey, and one of the things about humans or animals is that they adapt. You think about the dog and how we've modernized the dog. It has adapted from what was a wolf unto what, German Shepherd now, or Collie, or Pekingese? I mean, you know, so that's one of the things about the homeless. They get into a situation or an area, and then they adapt. They adapt to what's already going on. And that's why some of them feel like outsiders. There are so many other individuals I would like to bring to the show to speak, because I cannot just speak as one man for all the homeless all over the world, or even America. I can speak for myself. And when I speak for myself, I speak as one who has been a learner and a listener. And so, with that said, I also have other individuals who are in the studio here with us. I'd like to introduce you guys to Miss Ann.
Hello, my name's Ann Beaver. I have brought myself into this project, whether Jasmine wanted me or not. In the beginning, I saw some amazing things going on. And I started participating in some of the programs we were having in the Central Library, and my viewpoints changed.
Really? What have you been so surprised by so far from the homeless?
How willing they are to talk to us when we are willing to talk to them. Mm-hmm. I admit that, you know, there was, for me personally, and I'm sure for other, people in general or other staff at the library, there was like an invisible barrier because there was a lack of understanding.
Yes, ma'am.
And in getting to talk to people and them being willing to talk to us, that the barrier just kind of disappeared.
Did it?
Yeah.
I mean, so I know you guys have a lot of different individuals who work here. How do you guys go about as far as like morale between coworkers, as far as making sure that barrier is not brought back up?
Well, I think one thing that we do and we need to keep doing is making sure we are communicating with the entire staff, mm-hmm. what we're doing, that we tell stories, whether it's one-on-one or in a staff meeting, that we're telling stories of, it could just be a tiny little experience.
Yes, ma'am.
Or it could be something big and fabulous like the podcast. Mm-hmm. But sharing what we have experienced that has changed us. It's also inviting staff to participate.
You guys recently had a coffee and conversation. Would you give me like a short summary of what that entails? Like, as a whole, I understand you said about staff, and so I know staff was there, mm-hmm. and some of the homeless, but how did all play out?
Well, Jasmine was the one who started that, of course, and I, you know, pushed my way in, and I wanted to be a part of things. You know, I think the main thing of coffee and conversation is having that conversation, inviting people to the conversation, inviting staff, and we have staff, you know, from the various floors in the library and the various departments. We have them coming to the conversation, meeting people, talking about how they are the same, how they may be different, mm-hmm. talking about whether it's the topic of the day, or if we don't want to talk about that topic of the day, talking about something else, but just getting to know each other better.
Well, I noticed, and I frequent here. I'm one of the tramps that comes often. I noticed you guys do a lot of different activities, and you have almost become like the DJ, like the whole coordinator. Like we having groups. Oh, well, would you say we're having games? Come and get your tail whooped on this Uno. So it's like, I mean, how that experience, I mean, you laugh, is such vibrancy and life there, but how has that affected you? I mean.
Well, for one thing, I learned how to play Uno. I didn't have a clue, and I lost many games before I finally won one of them, and I was so excited.
What does that do to your person?
It relaxes me.
Yes.
I think. It slows me down.
Yeah.
And you were talking about stopping to smell the roses, to pick the flowers, to notice things. It kind of takes me off of that super highway that we're traveling on. And just stop. And I'm living in that moment, whether it's playing games, whether we're doing an art program.
Yeah, that was tight.
Or whatever programs that we're going to be coming up with soon too. I think that's one of the main things, how it has affected me. And I want to invite anyone and everyone to join me in that little peaceful, fun moment of, you know, sharing that fun.
Can I just say one thing about Anne is that, she kind of led one of our coffee and conversation topics on, stress, and, you know, her involvement in all of these programs and her eagerness to get involved is just so ideal. It's exactly what we were hoping to achieve, you know, between the staff and our customers. Because we did hear from our staff that they didn't know how to communicate with our customers. Mm-hmm. They didn't understand them. And so, you know, part of that coffee and conversation program is trying to bridge that understanding that we have a lot more in common than we think. Mm-hmm. And Anne was gracious enough to lead a conversation on stress. And I think that from the staff perspective, you know, when you say you don't know how to communicate with somebody, I think that means that you're not seeing that other person as human and as an equal or as somebody who is experiencing similar things to you.
Right.
And Anne was open enough to talk about the effects of stress on her. And I think that there's such a stigma, mm-hmm. around, you know, mental health issues. And I know a lot of our homeless community deal with mental health issues, whether it's a result of their condition or whether, you know, that was one of the reasons they've become homeless. And so I think that the staff has to understand that we have a lot more in common with each other, and with our customers than we think we do.